Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, episode 11. So happy to have here with me, Andy Young. Hi, Andy. So great to have you here with us.
Yeah, and thanks for having me. Really excited.
It is exciting. Andy Young is CEO of photography community 500px. He has worked in the tech industry for the last 16 years, including as an investor, banker, consultant, and advisor. Previously, he was an investor at Extreme Startups and a venture capitalist at Relay Ventures. He also worked at Netflix in strategic planning and analysis roles. Prior to those roles, he was an investment banker at Thomas Whistle Partners and Goldman Sachs in the TMT coverage groups. I just shared with our listeners some of the things you've done till now. And I would like you to share with us, what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Yeah, that's a great question. So currently I'm CEO of 500px, which is a global community of photographers. So I'm really passionate about connecting people through their visual storytelling. As they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. So
definitely.
Yeah, we believe everyone is creative at their core. They're born creative. And it's our job, it's our mission to draw that creativity out of them. And 500px's mission is to enable and reward visual creativity. And, we're providing the tools, the inspiration, and the platform for doing that. And so when we, go out into the community and all over the world, it's amazing how many people love the platform and are so enthusiastic and passionate about 500px and about photography. So it's definitely one of my passions to work on community and these global communities, to see just the diversity in the world and how passionate people are.
And the mobile phone or the mobile computers that we have with us actually change it all. So it is a new world, yeah, for photographers. Almost each of us is a photographer. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you whether you can just tell me in few words, how did this all start and what some words about your career, yeah, or about 500px?
Yeah. So in terms of the company, so 500px, it was started, so I'm not a founder. It was started by two amazing entrepreneurs. The first, Evgeny, was a professional travel photographer. And so he unofficially started this company back in 2004. And this is a couple months before Flickr started. And he was searching for a place to post his best images, and he couldn't find one. So he started a blog on LiveJournal, and he started posting his best images, and it got amazing traction. A lot of people were viewing. His personal and professional network started asking him, "Hey, your blog's amazing. Can I start posting on your site?" And he said, "Sure, but though two rules. Number one, it has to be among your best work. And number two, and this is, remember, this is in 2004, it has to be at least 500 pixels in dimension."
Oh.
And so that's where the name came from, and where kind of, the spirit of,
I don't know if you thought about it, but it's a
exactly.
Great story.
Yeah. It's one of those kind of tribal history of the company. And so, yeah, it grew organically, for 5-6 years. And then Evgeny meets his co-founder at a university in Toronto called Ryerson University. His name's Oleg, amazing developer. And he has the insight and the foresight to say, let's take this off of the LiveJournal platform and turn this into its own platform. And so, they spend a year building the platform, and that's when things really take off and they open it up into the community. So that's really the history of the company and how it got started. In terms of how I got introduced to the company. So I moved to Toronto roughly about 6 years ago, and I covered Fiverr PX as an investment. So I was on the venture capital side.
Wow, brave you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, really loved the platform, loved the community, loved the founders, and kind of kept in touch. And then I joined the team a couple years later. So I had always been a really big fan of what they're doing and again, the global community.
It's a great story. I haven't heard such a story. There are some people from venture capitals that opened their own startup mm-hmm. or entrepreneurship business. However, to join an existing one, it's you should be brave. I like that very much.
And yeah, no, it was an amazing opportunity. It was great.
And I have a few things to ask you about your customer approach. This podcast is all about customers, but can you please tell us who your customers are today and the story about how you figured out who are your most potential customers or consumers? Since you mm-hmm. talked about it, which I liked a lot, from the first second, talking about the company, mm-hmm. you talked about the people that join in, I'm very curious to hear who are your customers today?
Sure. So it has changed over time. So as I explained the history of the company, it was definitely geared towards professional photographers, mainly in travel. And as the founders turned this into a platform, they started getting a much more kind of diverse set of content and also a diverse set of photographers that joined the platform. And so as mobile exploded, you saw this kind of diaspora of photographers taking, you know, in different form factors. And we saw, you know, not just the full frame big 5D Mark III cameras, but we saw, you know, it pushing earlier and earlier to smaller form factors like the mobile phone, mirrorless. And so it's really diversified our customer base. So number one, in terms of on the photographer side, our customers are, we've segmented it into different personas. So what we call personas. So we can break out the demographics of at the very bottom of the pyramid, we have casual users that are here to maybe just view or curate galleries on our site. So they're just here to view images and are hoping to or aspiring to post on our site. Number two is as we move up the pyramid is the hobbyists. And what we define hobbyists as it's explained in the name, see photography as a hobby. Will own a dedicated point-and-shoot camera, whether it's a mirrorless or, you know, a baby DSLR, maybe own one or two lenses. And, you know, they're still a little bit intimidated, but this comprises the largest group of users on our site. And, you know, they're very interested. They want to learn. They want to get better. And so they're starting to invest in the community. As we go up the pyramid, what we call our semi-pros, so they will potentially shoot commercially, are interested in monetizing their work, maybe spend weekends shooting a wedding. And so they'll own, you know, much more kind of sophisticated gear. And then at the very top of the pyramid is the last group, are pros. And those are people that are fully dedicated. It's their profession, will shoot commercially, license images, go on assignment for different, clients. And so we kind of service those types of those four personas. And we found that out, you know, over time and interviewing and understanding our audience. And so for the entrepreneurs looking at, you know, starting a community or even any customer facing is to understand and break out those different personas and how you want to define your business and those users. That took a long time for us. It took, a couple months of just digging through the data, but it also took us, you know, 4 or 5 years to really understand the different user base. So that's one side of the equation. The other side of the equation, and so we license images on behalf of our photographers. So we will basically broker these images to brands, agencies, people that want to use these in their storytelling or their advertisement. In terms of those customers, we also segment them into either small, medium-sized businesses or the kind of the enterprise businesses. So how we kind of cultivate those relationships, the small, medium sized businesses, depending on the purchase size, can go strictly to the site and do the e-commerce transaction. On the enterprise side, we will do, you know, very custom engagements, custom assignments where we will handhold, the agency or the brand and organize all the logistics, the brief, and deliver the images and do all the editing and post-processing. So it's definitely, two sides of the we call it two sides of the equation, where we have the photographers and then also the businesses that will license those images.
It's fascinating. And I want to ask you, first of all, about the side of those who takes the photos. And usually it's very challenging to have under one roof the pros as well as even not the hobbyist. Everyone that wants. And does the pros keep joining the platform?
Yeah, I would say we have a healthy user base of pros, and among the four constituents that I named, it is one of the highest retaining. And so what FireRPX, what we've done a good job of is being that place for exposure, for distribution. So when pros do upload a photo to FireRPX, it gets seen by, sometimes millions of people each month. Then they use FireRPX, but maybe they use it for free and just post, one or two images a week or a month. But it does drive a significant amount of exposure for them. And it's also gives them a certain amount of pride, a certain amount of joy to showcase their work to a broad audience. And so that's where we've been cultivating this relationship with pros over time. And we're adding new features for them. So we've recently introduced the ability for pros to hold workshops, education, which also draws our hobbyists and our casual users and our semi-pros.
Yeah, which is great because it's all of them are within your community. Your
exactly.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and so we're constantly striving to introduce features, not just for the hobbyists, but yeah, for all of the personas on our site.
It was very interesting because I thought when you talk about what you are, you would talk about photography. Mm-hmm. However, you talked about visual creativity, and mm-hmm. in a way it reminds me a bit of Playbuzz or those who talk about storytelling, and everyone today knows that it's going to be about visual and so on. So how come you're talking about the visual creativity and on the other side you're talking about the photographers, and then your beautiful galleries looks a bit like Pinterest?
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly I find it all together, and I was curious. How does it all goes together?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. Very insightful. And so what we at the highest level, our vision is, not just photography, but other type of visual media. And whether that's, static, so graphic arts, illustrations, vectors, we had always thought about expanding to other types of visual media. So not just static content, but do we move into video, 360, virtual reality. And so these are the things that, we want our mission and our vision to be very broad and also forward looking. So as we start to think through what other types of creativity we can incorporate into the platform, we kind of leave ourselves open for that. But there is, a central mission for us to be the place where photographers grow. That's our product vision. And we want photographers to grow in three separate ways. Number one, we want to grow their skills. And so, this is where the education and the classes comes in. We have a great ISO, a blog called ISO.FireRPX.com, where we do and feature different photographers that have tutorials and will walk photographers step by step through taking great portraits or landscapes or even doing, light rings yourself. So, growing your skills. Number two, central to who we are is growing your network. And so growing the peer set that you belong in, finding the people on FireRPX that you aspire to become as well. And so we're building tools to help photographers foster that collaboration, through, communication or also through peer critiques. And this kind of relates to the first point of growing your skills as well. And then the final point is growing their wallets or their returns. And so we want to find a place and be a place where photographers can earn money through licensing their images or teaching workshops or going on assignment. And as you could probably guess, photographers, with the explosion of mobile phones and mobile content, it's really hard to be a photographer that earns money these days. And so we wanted to be a place where, photographers could earn a living and supplement their income So, you know, in the today's macro economy, can we participate in this, you know, shared gig economy where somebody might drive for Uber, rent out their place on Airbnb, and potentially shoot for 500px? And that would be a great place for us to participate in this macro trend.
It is, and I know you've got a lot of successes because you are where you are, 500px, and I guess yourself as well. However, I want to ask you, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey or 500px journey. Can you tell us about this?
There's so many mistakes or
I
failures.
love this answer.
It's been a long journey for us. Multiple. I think what it boils down to is just not talking to our community enough, or being proactive, or transparent enough to our community. And, you know, this is a lesson we have to learn over and over again, of just how much communication we have to do, or we should do, to our community to let them know of changes that are coming down the line, or just even things that we're thinking about. We just want to be, and we've learned this over and over again, just we need to be much, much more proactive and much more communicative, to our community. The most poignant example I can point to is, we launched a mirrored community just localized in China about 2 years ago. And we did this because we took investment from a strategic based in China called Visual China Group, which is an amazing company that does, you know, licensing and owns the licensing space in China. So that we took in a strategic investment with them. And with that investment, we started a joint venture that gave us access to 1.4 billion, you know, Chinese people that,
Wow.
you know, were getting more and more disposable income and going to, you know, start purchasing cameras and, you know, just getting into the artistic pursuits. And so this is a huge market. Everybody sees it. And so this was a way for us to access that market in strength and partner with a company that knows the local landscape. And so we launched the site again without telling our community. And so, you know, our community thought, you know, at first it was just, you know, copyright infringement, and there's this mirrored site that looks very similar. It basically looks exactly the same as 500px. And, you know, they thought their photos, you know, were being infringed upon. You know, we had to basically clear that up with our community. And unfortunately, we just weren't proactive in our communication. So a certain subset of very vocal users were upset. And so, you know, we had to, again, I had to personally apologize for not being communicative, and then kind of take steps to right that. And so, again, it's just, for us, it's always learning and always seeking to be better, and always communicating more and more with our community. It's something what we've started doing a lot more since that time.
It's a lovely story. Our last interview is with somebody that have chosen to focus on China, and I think it's a totally different world. And you're talking actually about both the new community, but your loyal community as well. So now tell me, or tell us with our listeners, the story of your greatest, most significant, specific success as a result of the right customer focus, or something that you did right about approaching your customers.
I would say for us, it was partnering with them to launch the licensing platform I talked about. We launched it about 3 years ago, and really wanted to understand how best to do this for our users. And so when we started with the user focus, we can start to understand some of the pain points, because a lot of our photographers have never licensed an image. They don't shoot commercially. They're photographs for the passion, for the creativity. And then now, as they've uploaded the content to 500px, they're now able to say, you know, just simply check a box, and then be able to monetize their work. And so, you know, one of the best stories I can say is one of the first photos we licensed for on 500px for the licensing. It was in a place in Canada called New Brunswick, and it was of this lighthouse. And the New Brunswick Tourism Office, you know, licensed these images. And they said, you know, we've never seen, you know, such high quality, such passionate photos of this lighthouse. And we've even, you know, flown photographers, commissioned photographers to specifically to take these images. But, you know, we just were blown away by the amazing quality of these pictures. And it turns out these photos were taken by a dentist in his spare time in Canada. And, you know, because he loved this lighthouse and he loved New Brunswick and he goes there every year. And you can tell the passion, you can tell the dedication to the craft. And he hadn't thought to, you know, to license these photos before. And so, you know, that's one of the best stories I like to tell. It's, you know, these are these amazing stories of, you know, you have this passion that's just, you just do it because you love it. And now that you're able to potentially license it, you can start to, you know, subsidize your passion and maybe, you know, reinvest this into education or into better gear. But it's these stories over and over again. And there's another one where, you know, we, is one of the top.
I'd love to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of the top, one of the photos we've sold, licensed for the most. So we sold this photo for $20,000 US, for a global ad campaign. And yeah, it was from a photographer, in Russia, in kind of rural Russia. So out in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, like we just,
he would have never got this exposure.
Exactly. And it was this, global agency in New York. They found this photo. They said, we love this photo. We want to buy it exclusively. So no one else can license it. You know, we'll pay $20,000. So we licensed it, and it was funny because we needed the high resolution raw image of this. And, you know, being where this photographer located, it took him a couple days to upload this high resolution file. And we were a little bit nervous because it was around Christmas time. And so there's a time element. Oh. So yeah, we received the high res photo. But so, yeah, we licensed that photo for $20,000. And so if the image is exclusive for us, photographers get 60% back. So if you think, you know, that, photograph, that we sold for $20,000, you know, 60%, you can do the math. You get $12,000 back for that one image.
Amazing.
It's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story. And I love the fact that actually, you're doing two things that I think they are very unique. On one hand, you're actually opening the ability to enjoy the photos of everyone, for everyone. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, everyone can become a seller as well.
Yes.
Or to sell his photos, which is exactly the sharing economy that we all love to talk all the time. But you open, you don't have to be a professional photographer and to have a business card. You can just have a place and let the best one win. So, but a lot of them can win, so it's beautiful. And the other thing that I really loved about your first story is that you managed to bring this passion or different thing to this, I don't know, it was some kind of exhibition, I guess, or to this place. Something else was felt there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that he talked about the inspiration, the passion, which is different, I guess. So I loved it a lot. And I would like to ask you, can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer focus, marketing, or sales?
That's a really good question. So we've just transitioned to HubSpot for us. And I know it's a little bit pricey for some of the startups, but what we found is it really helps us understand our outbound marketing and helps us do really interesting things as we segment into these different personas. And as we can tie this back into some of our transactional emails. So, you know, when people use FireMPX and upload an image, we can start to send them interesting emails about when they've reached a certain status or when their photos have reached a certain amount of views. So it's been relatively effective for us. So that's the first one that comes to mind. And, you know, we have gone through a number of the understanding the funnel and the customer side. We've gone through a number of tools, you know, Mixpanel, you know, a lot of these analytics tools, Periscope.io, And ultimately, what we've gravitated to is Google Analytics. It shows a very kind of complete picture. And, you know, for the entrepreneurs just starting out, Google Analytics can be free up to a certain point until that you have to start sampling. And so for the entrepreneurs just starting out, I would definitely recommend setting up Google Analytics, right? And kind of taking the time to do that instrumentation. Again, that's something we learned the hard way as well, where we did a number of different mistakes on the analytics side. And if your dashboard and what you're seeing is wrong, then you're gonna make some incorrect decisions. And so that's something I would definitely advise entrepreneurs on.
It's so important because sometimes we really are blind to something that we have, you know, we don't have to pay for, it is there,
yeah.
And we just not really use the Google Analytics, and so few are really using everything that it can provide.
Exactly.
So I love this recommendation.
Yeah.
And actually, to your listeners, we'll put some of the links that Andy is mentioning on the show notes of Andy's interview. So you are more than welcome to go into our site and take them from there. And is there any service provider, like mentor, even someone that you personally worked with, or the company, mentor, a consultant, an advertiser, or even a book that really had a major impact of your customer success and can help other entrepreneurs as well?
Yes, we took investment from Andreessen Horowitz, which is, I would say, the best venture capital firm on the planet.
Really?
Yeah, and the resources that they have are amazing. But they have, you know, a number of podcasts, and they have a monthly newsletter that just kind of consolidates a lot of the learnings and a lot of the cutting edge technology, very kind of focused right now on AI, but it runs the gamut. So I would definitely check that out. It's their URL is a16z.com. I would also recommend, you know, just in terms of a breadth of learning, the First Round Capital blog. I think it's called First Round Review. And again, you can sign up for the newsletter, and they have really topical posts and articles and almost do-it-yourself type of content on their site. And so I would definitely check that out as well.
Wow. Thank you. And I would like to ask you about the one thing that you are most fired up about today. Is there something new that you are launching, or something with the community, or something that you talked about before? What is the one thing that you are most fired up about?
I'm most fired about, like interacting with our community. Just last week we hosted a in-person breakfast. And so we had 25 photographers that came into the our headquarters and got a tour of the site and got to meet a number of our staff. And it's really bridging this, you know, we're an online community, but bridging that online to offline.
Sure.
And it's very important for us to see and talk to our users in person. It's something that whichever city I go to, I try to at least, you know, meet a couple of our photographers out there. And that's where you get the real feedback and really get the deep insights into people's lives, into their workflow. And so whenever you can, I would say, you know, I'm most fired up about meeting our customers in person, in like a physical meeting. And I know that's not scalable, but I would say it's very important to look somebody in the eye, understand where they're coming from, hear their stories, and then start to piece together these stories into different trends, into different ideas, and ultimately into different product and experiences that you can extrapolate. And so I would say that I'm most fired up about that. That's first order for us, especially as, you know, we're a premier community and we need to understand more and more our users and how their lives are changing, because, you know, everybody's lives are changing really rapidly. And it's only by understanding the technology that they're using, you know, the pain points of our platform and others, and how we can fit and make that better. And so that's something, you know, we hadn't had a strong emphasis on in the past, and we kind of lost sight of just how important that was. But now I'm just realizing it over and over again. It's something I just had to relearn of. Let's talk to our users every single day.
You know, if you would look at all of the interviews that we have on the site, on the Retro Miss podcast, all of them talked about this issue.
Yeah.
Everyone talked. There wasn't one person that didn't talk about the importance of talking with your customers all the time. It's really amazing because I started this podcast, I never thought that this will be the most significant thing that people will talk about. And I really love it because this is the world I'm coming from and I believe in it. And before we say goodbye, I would like to ask you, what do you think, looking back at 500px, you know, a lot of things are contributing to a success, but what is the one factor that really affected most on the success of 500px?
This is gonna maybe upset some people. I would say timing. Timing was very important for us. And so when we first launched the site, it was desktop only. And this is before, you know, the ubiquity of mobile phones, of the iPad, iPhone, of Android phones. And it would have been much more limited without this explosion of mobile devices. And as we look at, you know, kind of the success of FirePX, we had really, you know, the founders had a lot of foresight to take advantage of this this shift into mobile and to get plugged into the mobile consumption. At the same time, you know, as they were raising venture funds, the common refrain from investment into FirePX was there is no money in photography. There's no money in photos. It's commoditized. And so they had to fight a lot of kind of VC mentality around, you know, there's no money in photos. And then Instagram gets purchased for $1 billion. And then the world changes. And then all of a sudden, totally, there's a lot of money in photos. There's, you know, and there's a scramble to invest in photography and in photo platforms and in communities. And so, you know, this really kind of changed the mindset of a lot of investors. And so again, a lot of the success of the company was, you know, it came around, there's definitely a lot of smart decisions that we've made over time. But again, we've been really aided by timing.
Beautiful answer. I like them all. And Andy, I would like to thank you so much for being here. It was a fascinating interview. I love the answers. They're so unique. And it seems like the company is a very unique company. Really, it's very diversity. It's very colorful. Not only in terms of the photos, but also in terms of the way you are trying to serve your community. I really love to hear all that, and I'm sure our listeners will love it as well. And awesome. I would like to thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an awesome conversation.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much. And take care.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
And for you, our listeners, until next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and visions. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.